Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Wednesday, the 15th of July. Very nice to have you with us, and it's just lovely to be here. I can't believe it's the 15th of July already, but there you go.
Imagine that.
No, my
summer is going. That's just wrong.
Yeah, Kelly and I were coming home last night, and we saw the we're good for about 20, 30 deer sightings on our way home.
No, as long as it's not, you know, hit.
No. Well, we're good for that too, actually. But the velvet on the horns, you know, we're like, oh, so this fall is coming. This is, you know, it's tick tock.
Well, the bird expert on WAMC said the sparrows are already flying out of here. They've had the babies. Now they're headed back south again.
Gone.
Which is not a bad policy.
I'd like to follow them. I don't know about that. We have two robin's nests. One did we put a very expensive plant on the porch. Mm-hmm. And then we were away and somebody was in our house and said, I didn't water it because she took a picture of the robin's nest with two blue eggs, you know, in there. And so the plant is now completely dead because we can't water it. And we used to eat our dinner under the plant,
but we can't do that
anymore because then they get all freaked out and go away. That's the way it is. I just thought I'd mention
that. But the world is a better place with robins in it, so that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our house is just a petting zoo. We have the rabbits that are living now in the garden. We're not even weeding the garden because we don't want to destroy the family of rabbits.
Really?
There's a mother and several little babies, so we haven't even touched the garden because we don't want to disturb them in any way. We've got the groundhog under the shed. I love them. We've named them all. We have them come out.
They have an average of five babies. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah, well, we count them. Yeah. They come right out of the shed.
We had a little mouse in the kitchen, so I'm paying a fortune to have like men with BB guns.
Okay, well, that's a little
shooting them all.
A little bit.
I don't know anything.
But
poison them, trap them, get rid of them.
Yeah, the woodchuck is in our kitchen.
So we have the long. We have lights that go on automatically for obvious reasons outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a light went on last night. I went to the window.
Obvious reasons. Reading. You want to read?
Yeah, right. And then I saw a skunk that had to be a half a mile long. These guys are big. Walking there.
Yeah.
As long as the dog doesn't get untangled up with them, we're fine at a distance.
Well, this is fun.
Yeah, I'm all for the nature taking over
this
everything.
This is probably more important than anything else we're going to
talk about. Well, we have lots of good stuff to talk about.
Planetary discovery and war in the Middle East. Yeah, right.
Right.
Woodchucks under the garage.
Is there a war in the Middle East? I didn't read that this morning.
Well, listen to Netanyahu. It's coming with the deal we saw.
They just had him on.
So,
it was interesting.
We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll remind you of that. Let us talk about the Iran deal. When we spoke yesterday, it was pretty much announced, about an hour and a half, 2 hours prior to our broadcast. So now we are seeing the reaction come in. There were two interesting things, I thought. One was people are starting to break down of who got what. Who got what they wanted, who didn't get what they wanted, who made concessions, who didn't. And then also the president, moments after, about an hour, hour and a half after his remarks, had a sit-down with Thomas Friedman of the New York Times for almost an hour.
Interesting piece.
Which was a very interesting article. That Friedman both did an op-ed piece and both the Times covered
Friedman
it as an
article. Friedman
had
spoken out against the deal, too. So that was, mm-hmm. that's why it was
And that was his first
that,
question.
Obama called him in.
And
that.
Also, by the way, did you watch the video of that?
No.
I mean, it was just, here are two people that disagree on this issue. And it was just with such respect and intelligence
wow.
and really
I'll
like
have to look at it.
Very rare.
Yes. Setting the standard, perhaps,
Absolutely.
Or an example.
It was a really good thing. So let us begin with you, Rosemary, of how you think of where we are now.
I think Obama is having a fantastic month. This follows that amazing eulogy in North Carolina and then his win on the trade bill. He has gotten through a remarkable piece of diplomacy. And I think now he's very focused. He also gave a speech, we might get to this later today, about justice, which is he's acting like the president I voted for, you know, taking on bold, big issues and moving forward with like a lot of intelligence. I'm very impressed. And right now he is defining the debate over the Iran deal really narrowly. He's saying, yeah, I know, more, it'll help them. They get a lot. They're happy with it. They're really young. They're going to have more arms. But what we wanted to do was stop nuclear proliferation, and we have done it. And he has a lot of evidence. You saw that in the Friedman interview, I think, that this will get them out of the business for the next 10 to 12 years, which is forever in diplomacy, and he's right about that. And we wouldn't have stopped them without it. I think he has a wonderful argument. It changes the nature of what's going on, the nature of the alliances in the Middle East.
And it provides an economic boost that Iran needs, and will lift its youth up and provide money and schools and, you know, the kind of quality of life that people have been clamoring for, and so that somebody like ISIS can't create a foothold within that country. And I think the sole focus on the nuclear stuff is really key here. And, you know, I've been reading stuff all over the place, you know, from the Jewish community and the peace community and other places. And, you know, people are nervous and scared and, you know, and they should be. There's no two ways about it. But a non-nuclear Iran is really very important for long-term stability in that region and in the world. And we have to take the long view on this, which is something people are not want to do in this kind of, you know, 24-second, let alone 24-hour news cycle.
That's exactly true. And the Netanyahu's idea, which he, again, is pushing today, was doing it earlier today in an NPR show, is that we could have held out. We could have been meaner and harsher to them and punished them, and this would have changed. And it just, Obama has said this, it ignores the past. While those sanctions were in place, there is an arms deal. Yeah. They are, Iran is supporting Hezbollah and the Syrians, the Syrian government. They have done terrible things even under. So it didn't work. Now you have like one little advance, and that's a really good thing.
So let me ask you a question, Rosemary. Do you think under any circumstances, no matter what had been arrived at, that Netanyahu would have said, that's
nope,
a good deal?
Can't. In fact, he got asked that. Did you notice that? He was asked that question directly. He immediately ducked it. He just started talking, you know, on some other point, completely off of that. And let us not forget, this measure in no way constrains Israel. If Israel, as is its policy, feels that it is under attack and needs to defend itself, it will. There's nothing there that says they can't do it.
Mm-hmm. You know, the anti-Semitism that is so part of the fabric of Iran isn't going to be going away anytime soon. All we can do is hope that more dialogue will help decrease it. And staying steadfast against this, and I know I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but saying...
I sure did yesterday on Vox.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. You know, staying so steadfast against this, and, you know, like any other Jew of my age, your age, you know, we grew up with the Holocaust. And so that is so prominent in our, that shapes the way our thinking. But we have to look to the future too. And we have to look to making sure that Israel is secure. And nothing in this, as Rosemary said, is going to harm Israel in that way in terms of its own security. But even Israel and the other countries around Iran need to start thinking about the future and how we can stabilize that entire region and make it safe for people. Can we make it safe for democracy? It would be lovely. But we just need to make it safe, non-nuclear, and a place that will prosper.
So what do you think, what do you guys think is happening with the president and Kerry and offering assurances to both Israel, which they have to do, obviously, and to the Sunni Arabs who were, you know, so worried, Saudi Arabia and the others. Mm-hmm. There obviously has to be a reach out to make them happen.
It's the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So it's like maybe we'll end up with those three players with us at a table. Wouldn't that be a novel concept?
Well, we will not know what has been promised.
Mm-hmm. You have pinpointed the reason these talks took, what, a decade to come to any kind of fruition. Where the United States is not in a good position. We're now in the middle of Saudi Arabia, our big ally and our oil supplier, and Iran, which are enemies, and they have when not fighting directly, they're fighting proxy wars all over the Middle East, and that's why Obama, I think, is brilliant to say, okay, all that still goes on, this doesn't change any of that, but we're talking about nuclear weapons,
right.
Which
talking
just
about
raises
one thing.
Yeah, and he's right, proliferation is also part of the problem, because if Iran had a nuclear weapon, you're looking at Egypt getting one, Turkey getting one, it would be completely out of control. And then you got all these angry people with traditional and new battles, all armed nuclear weapons. Right. Awful.
I do want to make mention that the president will be speaking and having a full press conference coming up at 1 o'clock this afternoon, which is scheduled, which we'll be bringing you live.
That's a great term, by the way.
What?
It could be taken either way. A full press conference.
Yeah.
Get it full press?
Full press conference. Well, sometimes there's media availabilities that are in the Rose Garden where you get three questions. Yeah. But this is the whole,
This will be a full court press.
That's right.
That was the joke.
Thank you for filling it in. Thank you.
And I'm sure he's doing it because he is riding very high on a crest of success. This past month has been extraordinary.
Well, I don't know. You know, I think we have a Congress who are perfectly capable of trying to add up the votes, see who will hurt them and who will help them, and could really try to bring this thing down with maybe some success.
Well, we've been, I don't know if you've been getting these commercials out in Western Mass, but we've got commercials here calling on Schumer not to vote yes on this deal.
And by the way, when Schumer had to respond to the deal, he did so very, very cautiously.
Yes.
He said, I'll be reading every word. That's what he said.
Which is a smart thing to say right now.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and get to a letter or two, and then we will move on. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Haydenville Woodworking and Design, a group of artisans designing and building renovations, additions, new homes, custom cabinets, and furniture for over 30 years. HaydenvilleWD.com for virtual portfolio. Bethel Wood Center for the Arts, presenting Neil Young with Promise of the Real and Puss in Boots, Friday, BethelWoodCenter.org. And Columbia County Tourism, a summer home to the classic musicals, theater, waterfront concerts, music, dance, and outdoor films, ColumbiaCountyTourism.org.
Welcome back to the roundtable. We've been talking about the deal in Iran, and we want to go to a couple of letters before we go to our news break to find out the latest in what's happening in our world from the BBC.
Okay, so Leslie writes, the Republicans have shown how bereft of reason they are. We can always go to war. Why not opt for peace for now? Then we've been criticized by one Susan for saying, Iran, as opposed to Iran. English Society of English Majors. And Jay says, there is no doubt that this changes the balance of power in the Middle East. Is that bad? Has the existing balance of power been working, said Jay? Okay. And Rich says, Donald Trump has more hardworking and legitimate success than any Republican running for president. Trump even tried to show the New York State the benefits of selling off Sing Sing and how much money New York State could make in the sale and yearly taxes. Innovation and jobs is what we need, not ideas that benefit big businesses and cost America good wages and jobs.
I think Donald Trump approved that message.
Yeah. I mean, he is big business.
He certainly is. And let's see. That, I believe, Joe, is that. You see anything else?
That's what we have at the moment, but we welcome your notes as well. This, because I don't think it'll take very long, one of the stories that we did have this morning is the new poll from USA Today, which shows that Donald Trump is leading the GOP field. But does much less in a potential matchup against Hillary Clinton. Yes, I know the election is a year and 8 months away or whatever it is, but the poll is still, I find, somewhat interesting because here is a guy who has been generally, I think, bashed and is. Well, is he a laughingstock? I don't know. Is that safe to say?
Well, let's put it this way: they're trying to make him into a laughingstock.
But it doesn't seem to be working.
No. I mentioned on my morning commentary today. Is this something the Democrats want?
Well, somebody
answer is yes.
Somebody has been saying that this is all a Democratic plot, that the Democrats put him up to do this.
So the middle class opts out.
So that to make the Republicans look really bad.
So if the election came tomorrow and the choices, it turns out, were Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, everyone's
then
going
what,
home.
Then what would happen? No, I don't think everybody's going home. Then where would the middle class go? Because we always assume with both of them they would lose the independent sort of semi-conservative vote. So that would be a tough one.
Also, it's important to note that because there are 15 candidates in this poll, and some that are polling that aren't even officially announced yet, that even the top poll, I was going to say vote getter, but it is 17%. So what you can tell
that's
from
why
that.
I'm silent. Stupid, meaningless poll. Way too early doesn't mean a thing.
Polls sometimes do mean things, Rosemary.
Only not this
one. Come on. We saw a poll on Andrew this morning,
yes,
for example.
That's right.
It shows him further slipping.
Right.
Well, yes, it is a snapshot. He can come back, but he's slipping, and he's below 50% approval for the first time. So that's important to know.
Why?
And his numbers, why? Because the way we see whether people can be effective, you see Andrew making a deal with the Republican Senate, for example, on the SAFE Act and sort of taking it back.
I'm just curious for Rosemary and the couple of seconds we have left, but if Ted Cruz was ranking highest in the polls, would you feel
same
differently?
Thing. No,
it doesn't make any difference to
no,
you?
No, not this early.
I think it does, and I think that this is the way things lead on to.
I think this is a poll for the Republicans, for Jeb Bush, and for some of the other ones who were considered front runners to get their act together. That's what this poll is good for.
You're still not going to poll well if Jeb Bush gets his act together because you cannot compete with the entertainment value of Donald Trump and the name value of Donald Trump.
No,
right
it's
now.
It's much
it
more
is.
Than entertainment in his case.
You know, we got to go. Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post. I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org, where we get letters just like these.
We do. We absolutely do get letters. And here, Joe says, good morning, panel. Is it just me, or are there an insane amount of candidates entering the presidential election? It made me wonder, is there some kind of new super PAC money available for presidential candidates that can be used to help these folks with their own independent political aspirations? Or is this just a ploy for publicity or land jobs on Fox News? And that's from Joe from Del Mar. Actually, I'll just take a fast crack at that one and say this is an open, as what we call in politics, an open seat. And this is when everybody comes out because there's a chance for the Republicans to win. In fact, if you go and look at all of the history of what happens after a party has controlled things for a while, quite frequently you'll find that there's a shift in party allegiance. So these people say, why not me? Maybe I'll get the golden ring and I'll do it. That would be my answer to that. Sally says, Donald Trump is not entertaining. He is absolutely terrifying. It's a point I made in here before. He says some terrifying things. I sort of agree with Sally. And people say, well, he's just a clown. They have said that about other people in history, that they were just a clown with terrible consequences, as we know.
Although I do have to say, of hearing every night Jon Stewart go after Donald Trump,
pretty entertaining.
Very entertaining.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Right. I think I see your point, but I think I agree with Sally. He is, when you can start to talk about immigrants the way that he has and do that, that's terribly dangerous stuff. Yeah.
To me, and that was what the point I was trying to make before, is that it's terrifying. I mean, a lot of what many of these candidates says is terrifying to me. But if then to see it resonate with the people and see him on top of a poll, that to me is terrifying.
And to see people cheering for what he's saying is so distressing.
Right. And then Joe says, I think the bigger issue, which should be debated internationally, is challenging the right that every nation has a right to develop a nuclear electric industry. The same mechanism was used by North Korea to deceive and eventually obtain its nuclear weapons. And then it goes on and on. So I'll just read that part. And then Tom checked in with something I'm not going to read. Peter says, you mean the guy who apologized for blessing the invasion of Iraq and went on to apologize for it? We're talking about Thomas Friedman, of course. Hasn't he learned his lesson? I stopped reading him then. Still won't read him. Peter, you know, folks, there are times you should read people with whom you disagree. I'll say that. Now and forever.
My father always told me you need to know your enemy's arguments better than your own.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, Republicans and probably some Democrats say they oppose the nuclear deal with Iran because the lifting of sanctions will enable Iran to send arms and money to groups around the Middle East. Based on their statement, the U.S. should rescind current nuclear ABM agreements with Russia because of their providing arms to insurgents in eastern Ukraine. Obviously, we're not going to do that. Likewise, the Iran deal is a nuke deal, not an all-encompassing agreement on all aspects of U.S.-Iran relations. If it goes well, who knows? Maybe it could lead to progress on better relations on a number of issues in the future, especially as the old Iranian ayatollahs and the usual U.S. and Israeli hawks move on to a better place. You don't throw out the good because it ain't perfect, says Jim.
Don't drop the good because it isn't perfect. That's nice. Okay.
Well, there are more. Bonnie says, dear Rosemary Christine, because you said yesterday that was your middle name, right?
Right.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because George Jorgensen switched to Christine in the first highly publicized sex change when I was
born.
So
RCA.
Right.
Yeah.
And that used to mean more than it does now.
Right.
Yesterday, your statements reminded me of the obtuse black commentators failing to see the discriminatory similarities to growing up gay. Even those who accept that being gay isn't a choice continue to minimize the plight of other marginalized groups. To be black and gay is to be, quote, the other two times over. First, to one's overall culture, and two, within one's own race. Transgenders as a group have only existed since it was medically possible to be one at all. Give them a break. And that's
I totally am not opposed to a break. In fact, I said, how could you be philosophically against it? I just simply want the same kind of attention paid to women who represent, 53% of the population. Give me an ERA.
Right.
And I got a lot of letters saying, yeah, you're right.
So Martin says, I just want to say, as a member of the millennial generation, I find your show very engaging. I'm happy you have such a varied panel, but get more people of color and more LGBTQ panelists. By the way,
what are you, chopped liver?
By the way, Libby is a rock star. More of her.
All right. You are known.
And Mark says, isn't it amazing? Ever since the Iran deal was announced, commentators on Fox News have slammed the president, while MSNBC commentators have been praising this new Iran deal. Both news channels claim to be nonpartisan. Are both of these news outlets trying to fool us?
No, they both have good points in this case.
Yeah. And Stephen says, I find the Donald highly entertaining. Then again, I slow down to look at traffic accidents.
Well, you know, that's a very true,
that's
accurate
true.
Statement.
Mm-hmm.
That's doesn't get more clear.
Or train wrecks or anything to that effect.
And Michael says, what about Pluto?
We haven't gotten to it yet.
It's on our list.
We like it, too.
He just has one more sentence, which I'd like to read. NASA's New Horizons hit a bullseye 4 billion miles away.
All right,
it's incredible.
All right, so let's go to that.
And that it keeps working is really what's incredible.
Yeah, we have a minute or two. So
I can read more.
Well, do you want to get to topics?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go to
Pluto.
It's official. New Horizons has survived its close flyby of Pluto system unscathed. We have a healthy spacecraft, we have a healthy system, and we are outbound for Pluto. The mission operations manager for New Horizons said Tuesday night after the first group of ones and zeros arrived at the Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory in rural Maryland, which is managing the mission for NASA. "It was just like we practiced," said Alice Bowman. The mission team had waited a long time for this moment. How long? 9.5 years, but this is the payday, according to Hal Weaver, who is the New Horizons project scientist. "We flew 7,500 miles above the surface of Pluto, 3 billion miles from home, and it culminated Tuesday morning when the NASA spacecraft went screaming past the dwarf planet at 30,000 miles per hour."
Why can't we call it a planet? I'm just not sure why it's not no longer called a planet. And, you know, it's real. It's out there. It's got a moon of its own.
More than one.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's small. But what I find fascinating is that the machinery is still working. Because there's not always
been
the
vacuum
best.
In my pool broke down right. after a month. And they've got this spaceship running around the universe.
So I guess the question for many of us is, what do you get?
Well, you get incredible high-resolution images.
That's nice.
Black and white.
Both.
Oh, because I read this one. It was black and white.
They're doing the black and white first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you get an advance in science, mm-hmm. that is for sure.
Right.
But when you hold up the money that is spent on something like this, which, of course, we all cheer for, me amongst them, mm-hmm. One wonders whether or not our priorities are straight.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Here's my thing on astronomy. There's nothing more important than learning about our world and our origins and whether other people are out there with us and the chemistry of the whole universe. I think it's enormously important. And I find many journalism students will take astronomy as their science because of this very thing I'm talking about, the mystery and the wonder and importance, mm-hmm. the bigness of it all. And then you get into an astronomy class and it's all math. It's all these formulas. It's awful. It's like really deep science. It's rocket science.
Right.
And they all have to drop out or they fail. And that's how I feel about this. Like the pictures to me, they look like every other planet. You know, Pluto looks a lot like Mars to me. I don't know. And it's because it's just like a pretty picture. I don't get it all, but I'm really happy it's out there. And I'm going to listen to Bob Berman talk about it. Then I'll get it.
Okay. And also the high resolution images, I thought it was interesting because there was a contrast to some of the images that we had very early on going into the 70s, I believe.
Right.
And they're very similar. Yeah. And they're talking about, you know, how the degradation is not as severe as in other planets, which is fascinating in and of itself. Also, the science we're looking at some 18 months before they get all of the just raw data back and be able to look at this over time. It seems pretty cool to me.
Well, one of the things they always say is, one of the things they always say, the rationales for doing this, is that we may know more about the origins of the solar system or of the planet and of ourselves. I'd like to know exactly how that's going to work.
I also think that it maintains and supports this notion of exploration and
discovery.
And discovery and aspiration and not being so much inside of ourselves and that science is a good thing because we know junk science is sort of, you know,
right.
on the other side, the way to go. I just think, you know, when I was a kid and we were going to the moon, I was like, well, what about the people with rickets here? You know, I mean, there is this sense of we're spending this money and there are poor people here and children aren't eating. But there's also this sense of what it means to our national psyche to be able to continue to explore.
Mm-hmm. I remember many, many decades ago, Helen Hayes and Whoopi Goldberg did an entire – do you remember these? They did an entire public service campaign that NASA paid for, which was this is what these missions do to us. These are the eyeglasses that we have gotten because we do. This is the
materials, the
medicine that we have, the materials that we have, the building supplies.
Yeah.
And it was a really fascinating information campaign of this is why we're doing this. This is why this is worth what we
have. It's wonderful basic science and building knowledge for humanity. There's nothing we do more important than this. Personally, I'd like to see some of the defense funding shifted over to this.
But let me ask you this question, Rosemary, and that is, and this goes back a ways, but when the shuttle program was in full in full steam before there were
problems,
tragedies,
there were.
But those things were going up every month, and we weren't even covering it. I mean, it wouldn't even, it would barely make a blip on the news. You wouldn't even know that those things were up and around, and we lost interest quick.
Well,
go ahead.
I mean, all you got to do is watch the movie Apollo 13, right? It went up. The narrative was, we're not going to put him on prime time because nobody's watching anymore. It's boring. And it was only the tragedy of Apollo 13
and
the drama of it that got people interested again. Not everyone is going to be sitting on the edge of their seats around science and discovery. It's novel when it first happens. But it's the long-term effect of being able to go up on that space shuttle and do those experiments and bring the reality home that gives us the glasses, that gives us the science, that gives us the cure for whatever.
Stories biplanes, airplanes were big news, similar to the shuttle in the early 19th century. And then it became regular. It became normal. It became part of the everyday. And all you would get were the disasters or the triumphs and set a new record or something. So there's nothing unusual about that. I think most people, though, do support science and research as things that governments ought to support and we should be grateful for. That's what man does, you know, the species, rather than any other animal.
Let's take a break. We'll stop there for a moment and we'll come back and talk about other topics. We welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Some Union Institute and University's online undergraduate program, offering degrees from business to psychology, myunion.edu for fall 2015 applications. The Nature Conservancy's Adirondack Chapter, working to protect ecologically important lands and waters of the Adirondacks for nature and people, nature.org/Adirondacks. And Weston Playhouse, presenting Broadway theater, farm-to-table cuisine, and cabaret in the heart of Vermont, westonplayhouse.org for tickets.
Shortly before his passing, David Brinkley was still hosting This Week on ABC, and he wrote a wonderful book on Washington, and he was talking about that experience of hosting that television program, and he said, you know, that it was very rare that he asked a question of any of his panelists when he didn't know how they were going to respond.
Mm.
I thought of that as I put the story in last night, because I just have no idea how our panel is going to respond to this particular story, which is why I included it, because I'm really excited. Undercover video shows Planned Parenthood official discussing fetal organs used for research is the story. An anti-abortion group on Tuesday released an undercover video of an official at Planned Parenthood discussing in graphic detail how to abort a fetus to preserve its organs for medical research, as well as the costs associated with sharing that tissue with scientists. The Center for Medical Progress, which recorded and edited the video, says the footage proves that Planned Parenthood is breaking the law by selling fetal organs, but the video does not show anyone explicitly talking about selling organs.
Go ahead, Libby. Okay. Libby's bursting.
Well, I'm not bursting, but I read this story from the beginning to the end, and at the end, the Post makes it clear that it's not clear whether or not they're breaking the law or whether this is a really well-edited piece or edited to make their point. I think what we're going to see now that marriage equality is the law of the land, they're going to ratchet it up because they have nothing else to go after but a woman's right to choose and reproductive access to reproductive health care. The other issue for me on this is, if we weren't so stupid about stem cell research in this country, okay, we wouldn't be in this position of having to use fetal tissue. Let's be realistic here. Embryonic stem cell research is what will cure so many diseases, but we are so stupid and we get caught up in the whole notion of what life is, you know, and then we outlaw it. And oh, it's got to be from only the pre-existing stuff that's already out there. You know, we could have cured Parkinson's already. We could have cured cancer already if we weren't so stupid about this. But I really don't have anything else to say.
Rosemary.
I think it was a really slimy, badly done job. I hope Planned Parenthood sues. That poor organization does wonderful,
absolutely
wonderful work. Even take out all their abortion
Thank
work,
you
which
for
is
saying
not,
that.
It's far from
absolutely
their main thing they do, and it is under attack constantly.
Right.
And this is a really good example. No leader Planned Parenthood would be so stupid to say to anybody in public some of the things that this purports her to be saying, that we're selling. We're making a lot of money selling the
right
products, and we're doing abortions to get the
and
the
all you
got to
do is some
organs
good editing. And the fact of the matter is that
just to set this up, but
right,
Deborah Nakatoa, who is the Planned Parenthood Senior Director of Medical Research, had lunch with two anti-abortion activists who were posing as employees from a biotech firm.
Correct.
So she sits down, she has a lengthy lunch,
and
then
they're
this
asking
video
very technical, medically technical questions like how do you get the material, because you know you're crushing the baby, the fetus, to get it out. And so she gives a highly detailed, and really to anybody who is anti-abortion this is not going to help, about you know where you put the forceps and how the pressure you apply, blah blah blah. But that's not what she was saying. What they say she was saying is not at all what was going on, that we're making a lot of money. This is really profitable getting these fetuses.
Right.
This is part of a campaign. We're seeing it everywhere right now to stop abortions of 20 weeks or above, which is a measure that's passed in some legislatures and others are considering. And it's really, really an attack
and
on
it's
abortion
also,
rights.
Right, and it's also part of the campaign to totally defund Planned Parenthood,
yep,
which provides reproductive health care, not just abortion.
To
to poor people.
To poor women.
You know, to poor women. And, you know, and so then you have all these white folks, because that's what the majority of these pro-lifers are, railing against Planned Parenthood, wanting poor women to have children that they cannot afford, right? Mm-hmm. And then talk about adoption. Well, have they adopted any of these kids lately? No. It's so duplicitous, and they're just out there for their own sense of when life begins. And
Libby, let's hear from the men on the panel.
Oh,
yeah, go ahead.
Did you have something to say? We're so sorry.
No, I'm listening intently.
What I was doing too.
I find it fascinating, because do you think this is going to change the debate any? To me, this is just
it's already
basically
between
preaching to the choir,
right,
as far as you know,
and
to
that's
those
the whole point.
Right,
that is the whole
and
point.
And you'll see some
keep
of
the
Republican candidates taking this up.
Sure.
You know,
this is about legislative battles
to
stop abortion, to further limit abortion.
Right.
That's what I think.
But it also stirs up, obviously, those who support Planned Parenthood and other organizations,
mm-hmm, right,
as well.
I was saying, I read that story that you sent us, and I said, oh, I better send in a donation.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, because it mm-hmm certainly does it on both sides.
I also have some worries about what this says about investigative reporting, which there's a legitimate use of undercover operations. This is not it. This was not done ethically. It was not done correctly. It's just a bad job.
These people have a history.
Yeah.
You know, the guy who's behind all of this has a history of
it's entrapment.
Right. Of using entrapment, but also of re-editing things for his own purposes.
To give a slant to
it. Right.
Jeb Bush said on Twitter, this is a shocking and horrific reminder that we must do so much more to foster a culture of life in America.
Yeah, well, stopping executions would go a long way for that, Jeb.
Yeah, feeding poor kids would really go a long way to that also. It's all about what life is.
He's riling us up.
I'm sorry, but
that wasn't the intention. Although, again, going back to how I set it up,
I was
curious to see how it would all work out, and I'm enjoying that.
Have anything to say, Alan? Or are you?
No, I think what you guys said is perfectly appropriate.
Oh, playing the penis card, are you? any
sure
letters?
There'll be plenty
of
letters.
Yeah, there are letters. There's okay. always letters. Joseph says, the pro-fetus partisans are anti-women. They don't care about the women or children. In fact, they deprive them of food. This is a religious issue and has no place in law. It violates the First Amendment, said Joe. And Jeremy says, hello, nothing against Planned Parenthood, but Planned Parenthood is founded by famed eugenicist Margaret Sanger. Fact. Another fact, aborted fetal tissue is in your vaccines. Look it up. If you don't believe me, it's written on the box.
Okay.
I never got my vaccine in a box. I went into a doctor's office and got a shot.
Well, but the shot has to come in a box.
Henry says...
I have to ask my doctor. Then. I don't. Do I get any more vaccines now?
Yes, you do.
Henry says...
Oh, yeah. Yes, Henry says.
Sorry.
Yes,
yes,
go right ahead.
We have 2 minutes. We want to know.
I'll dance with you anytime,
Henry,
Alan.
And Henry says, Pluto was called a planet before. There was a clear definition of what constitutes a planet. In 2006, the IAU defined the qualities needed to be classified as a planet. One is the orbit around the sun. Two, has sufficient mass to assume hydrostatic equilibrium, a nearly round shape. And three, has cleared the neighborhood around its orbit.
So does Pluto get that or not?
And Vane says, 3 billion miles to Pluto, 10 miles from everywhere on Earth. There is unlimited, uninterruptible, constant pollution-free energy straight down. We do it now where it's close to the surface and it works less expensively than any fossil fuel-powered regional electricity production. We could understand and master how to capture it from anywhere at a cost about the same as the New Horizon probe.
Oh, he's supporting your idea that we could spend the money better.
No, I mean, it wasn't my idea that we could. It was just a question. I was just asking a question. We got a lot of people living in poverty, right? And there's a question mm-hmm. as to whether or not those people come first.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. It's a matter of priorities, but it's also about whether or not we want to continue as a country to be a leader in discovery and science. And for me, it's about the aspirational element of
I think it's bigger than country.
Thinking
this is,
we can
this is a planet
achieve.
Thing, and since ours is under such stress, that's yeah. probably a good reason to be looking beyond our own.
Because we might need
too.
Someplace else to go.
Libby said we have stupid notions of what life is. I'd like to know what she thinks life is and when it begins. Oh my goodness!
How about at birth?
You have to basically.
My thing
born.
Is when you have a social when you Rose can have Mary. A social security number. No, it's when you're
Shouldn't
born.
Get into it, huh? Okay. Well, I should let you know that I do not discuss abortion or the pro-life movement with anyone who does not have a uterus.
Okay, but Vince takes a shot.
Or did not in the past.
I think that's fair.
Vincent takes a shot at me. Says
his
just wanted to know that the attitude
Thank
Alan has toward science funding is the reason that the NIH and NSF have been systematically defunded over the last decade. They now only fund less than 10% of grants,
right,
putting the future of science in jeopardy.
Okay, we have to end all of the different conversations that we're having on the panel this morning. We'll be back. Thank you.